The Nicholas Snow Show begins right now.
Hey, Nicholas Snow here. On the show today, Robin Greenspan and Lacey Harmon, who I met when we all were performing at the Gay Comedy Night in the belly room of the world-famous comedy store on the Sunset Strip. Well, Robin and Lacey are coming at you weekly with fantastic YouTube videos. The couple of 19 years keeps the mood light and funny while sharing personal stories and lesbian-splaining, everything from wrong things people think about lesbians to their individual coming out stories and how to stay together. Says Lacey Harmon, we see lots of media for LGBT youth that centers around being single and getting laid, but not as much about finding and keeping your true love. Greenspan adds, Robin Greenspan, our mission is to plant a vision for people of what it is to be a loving, supportive couple out and proud and still laughing after 19 years. So, in this episode, I have an exclusive interview with my longtime friends, Lacey and Robin, and I'm a big fan of theirs. But first, I'm bringing you some hysterical audio from one of their hit YouTube videos, and the title is, If We Had to Have Sex with a Man.
The snowstorm continues after this.
Spotlight on Palm Springs.
Come to Lulu, the award-winning California bistro. Fabulous breakfast, a luscious three-course Sunday brunch, scrumptious dinners serving fresh fish, perfect steaks, pizzas, salads, and more. Something for everyone. A three-course special to savor from $15.99. The best all-day and night happy hour. There's always a party at Lulu in the heart of downtown Palm Springs on South Palm Canyon and Arenas.
For the complete menu and holiday specials, visit lulupalmsprings.com. And for contest information, find and like Lulu California Bistro on Facebook. Hi, I'm Nicholas Snow. Many of you know that I am HIV positive. I'm living powerfully with HIV because I benefit from the services of the Desert AIDS Project in Palm Springs, California. And I'm very happy to bring you this news from another grateful client of Desert AIDS Project.
I'm more proactive with my health now, I think, than I was before. And I think that's because there's other people that are being proactive with me. You know, there's people that are interested and concerned about it.
A lot of services that are very difficult to access to HIV-infected patients are gathered within one roof. We do have access to substance abuse counselor, mental health services, psychiatrists. We have dental service programs. We have nutritional programs, housing, case management. Very unique in the nation that all the programs, including medical services, are administered within one facility.
Coming here, I felt just an amazing amount of love from Desert AIDS Project. They are people who just care in the community, people who want to put a hand out and say, let me hold yours. And I think that makes all the difference in the world.
For more information, visit desertaidsproject.org.
And now, on with the show. He's a regular contributor to the Huffington Post and to media outlets throughout the world. He's an author, singer, songwriter, actor, and activist, and the executive producer and host of NicholasSnow.tv. He has created and continues to do so a snowstorm of global proportions dedicated to connecting the circuitry of humanity. And now, drifting into the studio and your life once again, Nicholas Snow.
In this episode, I have an exclusive interview with my longtime friends, Lacey and Robin, and I'm a big fan of theirs. But first, I'm bringing you some hysterical audio from one of their hit YouTube videos, and the title is, If We Had to Have Sex with a Man. The first voice you hear in the video is Lacey Harmon asking Robin Greenspan, if you had to have sex with a man, ..
If you had to have a three-way with a man, who would that be?
Under what circumstances would I be forced to have a three-way?
Just accept the fucking premise. Who would you have a three-way with?
Do they have to be alive?
Are you that averse to a male sexual encounter? That you would choose a dead guy over...
No, I don't mean they're dead at the time. I just meant, like, if it's a fantasy.
Oh, no. It could be anybody.
You know, like, it's like, if you're going to be on a desert island with someone living or dead, they don't mean, do you want a corpse on the island?
Who do you want if you had to have a three-way? Right now, someone's knocking on the door. He's going to come in and have sex with the two of us. Who do you want it to be? Choose now.
Oh, God, I don't want to. There's no one. What is yours? Help me.
I can come up with four.
Go ahead.
Ryan Gosling, Bill Clinton, James Spader, and John Stewart.
John Stewart?
Yes! I would love to have a three-way with John Stewart. We would have a ball with John Stewart.
Just three neurotic Jews trying to have a three-way? No.
Okay, so just choose among the four of them. Who do you want?
Of the four? Oh my God, I can't.
You're fucking uptight.
I'm so uptight.
Why? Why don't you just choose one of them?
I don't know, because I don't want the backlash of whatever I say. It doesn't matter how much duress I'm under when I say it. People are going to be like, oh, I hear you have a thing for Bubba now.
Oh, so Bubba wins.
Bubba wins simply because it's not about the sex. And see, that's my problem. Unlike some people in this room, I can't just have sex. I have to be attracted to the person as a person. So I can't just sexualize someone like that. Having said that, it would just have to be Bubba, simply because it isn't even about the sex part. It isn't even about the physical part of it. It'd just be like, oh my God, it's Bubba.
I feel comfortable saying there's not a single lesbian that we know that wouldn't have sex with Bill Clinton.
He's a charmer.
He's a rock star.
I mean, any man that could charm a
dyke like Hillary.
Jesus Christ. Oh my God. Talk about getting us in trouble. We do not know that Hillary Clinton is a lesbian. We're not
Even if she likes dick, she's a lesbian. I don't care.
We want her to be one because she's a very powerful
woman. She's badass.
That's another good question. Who would you want to be a lesbian that isn't one? Like Christiane Lamampour. She's hot.
She's a lesbian. Oh, you know what? I actually think she is straight.
Am I saying her name right?
Christiane Lamampour.
Christiane Lamampour. I like smart people. I'm attracted to smart, powerful women.
So, okay. Let's say Hillary shows up at the front door right now. Hillary Clinton. And... Yeah. Okay, I didn't even have to pose the entire question.
I would do Hillary.
I would so do Hillary. Yeah. We'd have a really good time with Hillary Clinton.
Oh my God, I can't believe we're saying this. We could do a four-way.
With who?
Bubba and Hillary!
Oh,
they're married, remember?
We wouldn't have anything to say to them. They're way too smart.
That would be so awkward. Do we have to have a conversation of some kind?
In my fantasy, they bring a couple of bottles of wine and we basically say, look, we don't know all that much, but can we just drink and hang out and talk about like maybe some movies we have in common and feel our way into this thing?
Did you guys ever see Tootsie? That's our favorite film.
And as promised, I now welcome to the show a previously recorded interview with my really good friends, Robin and Lacey. Yes.
Hi, honey.
Are you my favorite lesbians?
Yes. Are you a favorite gay man?
Well, I hope I'm one of them. I know you know many.
Well, yeah, but you're really special.
Aw, aren't you sweet? So your video, by the way, we're already recording, although this is not live, but let's consider this interview started. I just watched your video, If You Had to Have Sex with a Man, and my audience actually just heard it as well.
Oh, great.
Mine would be titled, If You Got to Have Sex with a Man.
Oh, come on. You get to have sex with plenty of men. We see what you're doing out there and looking like out there.
I'm an honorary lesbian because I have Birkenstocks and I haven't been having sex with men either.
Well, I think you have to have Birkenstocks if you live in Palm Springs, don't you? Did lesbians gift you with those?
No, I've been wearing Birkenstocks since I was at Arizona State University in college.
Oh, that explains it.
In the early 80s.
Okay.
I shared in the intro that I met you when we all performed together in the belly room at the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
Those were memories, I'm telling you. And one of the things I was really looking forward to regarding our conversation is that I think I've known you almost as long as you've been together, but the three of us have, and people our age, have a certain frame of reference in terms of where the LGBT community is today and how far we've come.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God, it's enormous.
It's unbelievable that we have, I mean, marriage equality is the law of the land, and people
never thought we'd live to see the day.
And look, kids in high school can be gender queer and gender fluid and gender everything. It's like it's a new gay dawning.
Yes. And this is one of the gifts of actually doing the YouTube series, is that we're becoming hip now to some of what's going on in the conversation among younger queer people. One of the things was, we thought queer kind of, that language kind of died in the late 80s. And then we were on talking with people on Twitter, and people were talking about queer, but we made fun of the word as like it was no longer a thing. And the young people are like, what are you talking about? Queer is totally a thing. That's our word now.
Yes, I gotcha. And, you know, remember, I was the Tinseltown queer.
Oh, that's right! That's it!
Yeah, you know, speaking of your YouTube channel, it's at youtube.com/... is it Robin and Lacey or Lacey and... Lacey and Robin. youtube.com/LaceyandRobin. Now, I got the announcement before you guys went live, and I loved the concept of weekly internet commentary, which I think is really cool. But I have to tell you, you put your talent where your mouth is, and you come up with it as of, you know, March 2016. You got 25 really creative videos, and I noticed that one of them has been viewed almost 24,000 times.
We have to tell him about that one.
Yeah.
Well, let me say the title. So it's called Wrong Things People Think About Lesbians. That's your number one video so far.
Yeah, that's our number one video. And we were really astonished by the unbelievable amount of views that we got on that video. And what we found out was that we ended up on some porn site, and that's why we're getting so much traffic, because in the description we put that we dispel the myth that lesbian porn is real. So these search engines or whatever found the term
lesbian porn.
That's it. So all of our videos are performing pretty darn well, but that one is like light years ahead. It's the same thing with the movie. We get mixed up with straight men who want to see lesbian porn, and I think they have to be heavily disappointed. But anyway, they do click on it, and so that's the secret to the reason that one's so far along.
Well, I'm going to start tagging all my videos with the lesbian porn.
There you go. It works, man, I'm telling you.
My lesbian interview continues after this.
The snowstorm continues after this.
I'm Nicholas Snow. When news got out that restaurant guru Willie Rhine and legendary Hollywood photographer John Pascal were combining forces to open 849 Restaurant and Lounge, the media buzz was instant and hasn't stopped since. Since opening September 1st, 2015, 849 has been bestowed consecutive Diner's Choice Awards by users of OpenTable and named Best Restaurant on Outlook Magazine's Ultimate Pride List and Best New Restaurant in the Desert Sun's Best of the Valley competition. The Hollywood Reporter calls 849 one of the hottest restaurants to sample, as does LA Eater. New York-based InsideHook.com gives 849 a big shout-out in their JetBlue Palm Springs travel advisory. Hollywood Highlight magazine has bestowed 849 with 5 stars, calling it a delightful, delicious, guilty pleasure in the desert. And television host Ross Matthews tells The Desert Sun 849 is among his favorite restaurants in Palm Springs. Variety magazine adds, with 300 seats, an indoor-outdoor patio, and 8,000 square feet, 849 offers space to party in the Uptown Design District. There's all-day happy hour, lounging with a view, and upscale dining. Find all this media coverage and more at 849.com. That's 8 spelled out, the number 4, and 9 spelled out. 849.com. Find the restaurant itself at 849 North Palm Canyon Drive in beautiful Palm Springs, California. Reservations are available at 849.com or give them a call at 760-325-8490. Tell them Nicholas Snow sent you. My lesbian interview continues. You know, I used to say back in the day, when I was at the height of my Hollywood-based media activism, I would say, and I was working with my buddies Matt Scalarud and Fabrice Descendo at GayWire.com. When we would do media appearances about what we were doing in activism at the time, I would say the internet is allowing us to jump homophobic Hollywood gridlock and go directly to a global audience with content for and about their wants and needs.
Yeah, that's right. You know what? That's so interesting, Nicholas, because when you were talking about how far the gay community has come just in our own personal lifetimes, we've also witnessed the internet happening in our lives and how much that has changed everything.
Well, you know, I think we have two things to thank for the equality that we have today. One of them is the really dark, horrific era of AIDS and the fact that it compelled people, because they were dying, to come out of the closet in life or death. So it just collapsed closet doors everywhere. And I think that the second thing would be the internet. It allowed people to access, consume, and express massive amounts of interaction in a way that was personally safe.
Yes. That's something Lacey and I did a couple of videos. We each did our coming out video, where we told the story of how we each came out. And that was such a big part of it, was that when we were young, there was no internet. There weren't even any gay role models. We had nothing.
There were a few, but they were not completely out. And it, like, there was the soap character that Billy Crystal played, and there
was not a real person, though.
Right, but I mean, what I'm saying is there was some indication that there was such a thing, although before I came out, I don't remember even thinking that there was such a thing, even from soap. There were a very few people out there brave enough to say so. In fact, Bowie said so, and Rocky Horror said so in a way, but it was like you really had to search around to find what a gay person, what that word was, what that thing was in any real way. Completely different world from now.
By the way, because our audience may not know, that was Lacey Harmon who was just speaking, and I did identify your voices in the video before I played it, so people had that opportunity to know which of you is which. Because this is radio. So, you know, one of your titles is Why Are Vegans So Annoying, but I have to say when I first glanced at it, I thought it said Why Are Vaginas So Annoying?
That's another idea for a
video. That's a great idea. That's clickbait.
Clickbait. Lesbian porn clickbait.
I'm already thinking of ideas for that.
Lesbian porn and annoying vaginas.
I think that's just a thing about getting older, because I switch words around like that all the time.
I'm too old. Well, that headline was under the two of you, and for some reason I saw vaginas and not vegans.
That happens.
You know, the other thing that I love about knowing people for decades is we can have this conversation as if we just stopped talking yesterday, you know.
There you go, yes.
So, let's go back. First of all, when and how did the two of you meet?
We met doing stand-up comedy at the Comedy Store. We met when the three of us met. Yeah, you're right when you said our friendship is as long as mine and Lacey's relationship, because that's where it all started.
Oh my goodness! I had no idea.
You didn't?
Well, I didn't realize. Well, probably at the time I knew that that's when you met, but. You two have always seemed to me like you've been together forever, because you're such, a great match.
Thank you. Well, it all started doing stand-up comedy, and then we were cast in a play together, playing lesbian lovers, and then because of the nature of those rehearsals, because we were constantly being asked these intimate questions, we were getting to know each other really intimately in these rehearsals, suddenly this very uncomfortable switch between we're playing roles of lesbian lovers and we're becoming lesbian lovers started to occur.
And then you ultimately became famous because of keywords lesbian porn.
Exactly. We knew it would pay off eventually.
And after this, more comedic banter with real life lesbians.
The snowstorm continues after this.
New designer furnishings, sparkling cocktail rings, vintage jeans and shirts for moms, teens, boys, and flirts. Area rugs and stylish bedding design your wedding. Shiny knickknacks and glam Hollywood throwbacks. You'll find it here at Revivals. Voted best of the Valley thrift stores. Now with even more new treasures, plus one-of-a-kind consignment and estate items. Fashion, accessories, furniture, it's all in store at Revivals. Find it here. Visit us at revivalstores.com to find a Revivals store near you.
Hey folks, mark your calendars for early November, because it's time for Greater Palm Springs Pride, Southern California's popular and longest-running LGBT festival in the Coachella Valley. Palm Canyon Drive is closed to traffic and transformed into a vibrant, pedestrian-friendly Pride Festival unique to Southern California. Palm Springs Pride is also one of the sponsoring organizations of the annual Harvey Milk Diversity Breakfast, which takes place every year in May. Visit pspride.org.
The LGBT Community Center of the Desert is a nonprofit organization dedicated to enriching the lives of the LGBT community in the Valley through health and wellness, social and educational programs. The center advances its mission through a clinical counseling and internship program, senior programming, youth anti-bullying and suicide prevention support programs, a growing volunteer program, and signature special events in the community for its members and allies. For more information on the LGBT Community Center, visit them on the web at thecenterps.org.
More comedic banter with real-life lesbians. Girl Play was a very popular, critically and commercially successful production out of L.A. that became a movie. So add to that, because you can give more of the details than I.
So actually, Girl Play is the movie version of our two-woman show, which was called Real Girls, which was not the play that we fell in love on love doing. It was the play about how we fell in love.
That's right. It's all coming back to me now.
Okay, I know it's really confusing, but you gave one of the great reviews, I thought, of Girl Play when it first came out, in that you called it a ploovie.
Oh, that's
Do you
funny.
Remember that?
You know, now that you mention it, I did call it a ploovie.
That was incredibly smart, because it's a play on film. And so if you sit down with your popcorn ready to watch a play on film, you'd be all happy. If you're thinking you're going to see car chases, you're in for maybe some disappointment. But it is a play, because it's based on the play that we did about how we fell in love. It is exactly that. It's a play on film. It's just that it stars the two of us, with Dom DeLuise and Meg Stoll
supporting role.
Yes, I remember. It's all coming back to me, as I mentioned. And, you know, all three of us at key times made a decision to be out of the closet in our pursuit of an entertainment career. And I personally would not change anything about the decisions that I made around that. I think that the most valuable experience of my life came out of the willingness to tell that truth. I think, granted, all of us have this sort of talent that would have taken us far had we not sort of given up our perceived heterosexual privilege.
Yes.
What would you like to add to that?
There's no way that I would have done it any other way. Is there any way you would have, honey? No, I mean, and in fact, I feel like, strangely enough, more opportunities were available to me because I was a lesbian. And the reason that I even started doing stand-up at the Belly Room, and I think probably all of us, they needed gay comics, and I didn't want to just do, you know, generic material. I wanted to do material that was going to appeal to the gay community. So it was, we had to come out. You know, if we wanted to be communicating directly with our audience, we had to be out, it seemed to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I remember, actually, as a young woman, I was so judgmental about the performers that wouldn't come out. In particular, Jodie Foster really had my ire of, like, why would you not give that to people? I understand now. I'm much less judgmental. But it was never an option for me. I just couldn't. And it's not even that being a lesbian is, like, the most important identification that I make. It's not. I think of myself as a woman even before a lesbian, or an artist even before a lesbian. But the truth of the matter is, it's enough of who I am that I don't know how people go and hide that. I think it's unholistic. I guess that's the best way of putting it. Since we're in Los Angeles and Palm Springs, it's unholistic.
You know, when I was producing my TV show, which for the listeners in the audience that are unaware of it, it was called Tinseltown's Queer. I described it as a Queen's version of Larry King, and it was available for up to 600,000 households on a regular basis throughout most of the 90s in the L.A. metro area. So I was doing a segment on Outfest, and we were talking about lesbian film. And I said, what is lesbian film? Would that be like Anna and the King or Silence of the Lambs? Are those lesbian films?
That's hilarious. Yeah.
And that was pre-Jodie coming out. Now, I never outed anybody, but I did joke about people where there was already a huge conversation about their sexuality.
Yeah.
So, like on another show, I said, there's a major talk show host that I hope comes out. I can't name her name, but if she does come out, I'm sure it will all come out rosy.
Ah! Oh my God, it's hard to believe she was ever in the closet.
Yeah. It's hard to believe that anyone was ever in the closet because we're so far from the closet in certain regards. Yet today, the Hollywood closet is still alive and well. And I'm fascinated that anybody with a huge amount of money and commercial and critical acclaim that's basically set for life would still choose to stay in the closet. And I know that there are a handful of people that fit that description.
Yeah, especially now that it is so widely accepted. I mean, definitely in Hollywood, it's a lot more accepted.
Well, I think it's more accepted for lesbians by a landslide than for males. I think it's still more stigmatic for homosexual males. And I think it's funny. People will try to use the argument even today that, well, I don't want to know she's a lesbian because I want to believe that I can have sex with her. That way I can watch the movie and I can really believe the problem. It's like, really? Because you turn on any third movie and it's starring Paul Giamatti or Meryl Streep, it's not like you can say, oh, that's that woman that just got divorced in the movie. That's that character. Now, you know damn well you're looking at Meryl Streep. You're having to raise your imagination against all kinds of odds with the way they use these movie stars. So this argument that we can no longer use gay, we can't let people know that we're gay so that they can raise their level to that imagination, is really counterfeit. It's silly. You know, we forgive all kinds of things in the movies. That should be the least of our worries.
Well, I agree. And, you know, like Neil Patrick Harris on his sitcom was a womanizer.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. That's right. And he was great. And everybody bought it.
And he remained in that role very successfully after he was out. For all I know, maybe he was out through the whole series. I don't quite know the timing, but you know, it didn't keep people from embracing that sort of womanizing character that he plays on TV.
Yeah. And the other way around. I mean, you don't have a problem with straight people playing gay characters.
Well, that's true too.
What difference should it make?
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about, I talked about a little bit about your coming out stories, but it's relevant for the subject matter and the length of time we've known each other. I had a really serious girlfriend in late high school and early college. During that relationship, I paid more attention to my attraction to men because if I was to marry a woman, I felt like I should know myself very well before making that decision. We ended up breaking up, not around my questioning of my sexuality, but then the movie Making Love came out.
Oh, Harry Hamlin. Yeah.
Michael Ancine, Kate Jackson.
Oh, shit.
And I went to see it with a boyfriend-girlfriend couple from my hometown. We were all at the same college. And I had grown up with her since the third grade, and they met each other in high school. We went to different high schools. And they knew I was interested in acting, so I'm sitting next to Jim, and the scene comes along where Michael Ancine and Harry Hamlin's characters kiss for the first time and fall into bed. And then it fades away. And then my friend Jim, he leans over to me, knowing that I'm interested in acting, and he said to me, "How much would they have to pay you to do that?"
Oh.
And out loud, I said, "I don't know," but inside I'm thinking, "Not a cent, not a damn cent."
I'll do it pro bono.
That movie is, I think, I haven't seen it. I have seen it since that time. I think I've seen it about 10 years ago. It's a 10 out of 10, even today. It's a great movie.
The only thing that I think was a bit jarring for the audience was the parts of the movie where the characters are speaking directly to the audience.
That's right.
That was a particular part of the storytelling that was kind of different, but I'm not saying I disagree with it. It just was a very different approach at the time. But for me, it was just an incredibly powerful and fundamental part of my coming out process. And I say that because we're talking about media and the importance of honesty in the media and the transformative effect that has on people's lives.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, YouTube is particularly about honesty. The biggest reason that we keep going as artists is, I think, we became obsessed with The Real World when it first came out. Remember The Real World?
Oh, totally.
We loved it. And it was simply because, I mean, to the extent that it was produced, we understand it wasn't the realest thing in the world, but it was awfully close considering what else was on television.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening now on YouTube. That's the reason that we're so attracted to this, because it's really fun to see people letting themselves be actually seen. And this generation, you know, the people that are our kids, our nieces and nephews, they do not have a nose for bullshit.
I gotcha. I understand completely.
It's incredible. And so we love participating in that. In fact, many of our fans are on the younger end, and it's a major compliment because what they believe what they're seeing is real, and it is. We're trying to show ourselves.
I love, you know, the first time I watched your show, I was thinking, well, the production values are very simple. It's a single shot,
yes.
A single two shot. Once you're used to that about your show, it's like your banter is so organic and natural and humorous, and it kind of has a Seinfeld quality to it.
Yeah, that's the idea. Thank you. We noticed, actually, we had a viewing party of sorts about 3 months ago, and we had straight women, we had straight men and women, we had gay men and women. We showed, like, a few episodes of the shows to straight people, gay people. We had a little bit of everybody there, straight men and gay women and everything. And at the end of the party, the people that came up to us and complimented us the most and clung to us and said, you have to keep doing this, were the gay men. They responded to the video.
Well, I love that. I frankly think that, I frankly think the content is universally appealing.
Thank you. We hope so.
So is Costco ruining your sex life?
Not anymore, because now, you know, that's an interesting thing, because Stacey brought it to my attention during one of our videos that she does not like to eat on paper plates. And I was serving her meal on paper plates for the last 18 years. And now come to find out that was a huge turnoff to her. So now we're actually eating on adult regular plates because of that video. That's right.
So why did it take 19 years for you to tell her that you don't like to eat off paper plates?
I had told her before, but I had never wanted to really drive it home and make a big pain in the ass deal about it, because I don't do the dishes, so I didn't feel like I had the right. But part of the fun of the show is we can air out our gripes against each other, and people can sort of side with us and come to, we can basically get votes after the show. So that's what we did. I brought it to her attention, and there were people who said, oh my God, you're crazy, paper plates are where it's at. But for the most part, people sided with me. When you're having dinner, you're getting ready to pour a glass of wine, you're sitting down to relax, a meal coming out on a picnic plate is not really what you're looking for.
You know, what you've just shared relates to another one of your podcast, your vlog. I think the fact that you waited 19 years to share that you didn't like paper plates is a sign that you may be codependent.
Oh my God, no doubt. Yeah, no doubt. Well, what's really fun about doing these different videos is, and like the codependent video, we get so much feedback from other lesbian couples and straight couples and gay couples, just, you know, where there's similarities, there's just a lot of recognition.
Yes.
And I think that, I don't know, it's really fun, because when you're a couple, you don't really know how other couples behave. So when you get to, you know, see that what other people are doing behind closed doors, it gives you some, I don't know, some sense of that you might be normal, you know?
Another one of your videos, Why Parties Suck.
Yeah, that was a more recent one. I was very afraid of releasing that one because I didn't want people to stop inviting us to parties. And I also don't like being ungrateful on the show because we're obviously so blessed. But it was just, I think we felt that we were drawn to it because people have social anxiety. And truthfully, even though we're a bit exhibitionistic in the show and as performers, we do have a tough time at parties. We really are freaked out every time we get invited to a party. So even though we may say yes, really all the energy around it is, oh my God, what am I going to wear? Why do we have to go? When can we get out of there? So the video just, I guess, reaching out maybe to people who may feel that way but be too intimidated to say such a thing.
You know, I don't know if you know this, but it won't surprise you given what we just said, but I am afraid of people. I'm basically a shy person.
Yes, that's it exactly. I know. I would never have known that. But it makes sense. Just because we're performers doesn't mean that we're great with people socially.
You know, this is something else that's interesting because, you know, one of the ways I used to cope with my social anxiety, especially when I would get invited to all these VIP parties in Hollywood with hosted bars, is I would slam some vodka cranberries so I could just start, or I would stuff myself at whatever buffet they had.
Right, right.
To start to just really kind of feel like it was okay to be in the room.
Yeah.
But now I've been sober 15 years.
Oh my God, congratulations, that's huge.
But the reason I bring that up is because when I performed with you at the Comedy Store, I was not sober. I don't think I was ever drunk, but I still was drinking at that time.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if, I'm just curious if you have any memories of me and alcohol.
I certainly don't have any memories of you and over drinking.
Yeah, I'm sure that you don't because I'm one of the people that they refer to in the Big Book as someone who stopped in time. But I, we're talking about social anxiety, and that's the way that I think that, frankly, I'm really glad we got on this subject because I think that a lot more people than we realize have social anxiety.
Yeah.
And that the social media only intensifies it in many ways.
Oh, my God, yes. Yeah, because once someone talks to you, once you get a conversation going on, you're not only talking with that person, but you're talking with whomever is actually reading those comments or on Twitter and Facebook as well. It's really, it can be very intimidating.
Well, I actually have used social media to overcome my social anxiety because if I'm afraid of someone in person, I might not be so afraid of them on Facebook. And if I interact with them enough on Facebook, the next time I see them in person, I might walk across the room and say hello.
That's true. I have actually gotten over some of my social anxiety because when I'm at a party now in Los Angeles, I know that that person brought their dog to the vet 3 days ago. I have something to talk about. That is true. It does help in that sense.
Exactly. So
I wanted to congratulate you, and we both want to congratulate you on that Everyday Heroes Award that you just won. It's incredible and very well deserved.
Aw, thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
You have been awesome. You've been out there being an activist the entire time we've known you,
yeah.
And that's incredible. You know, we look forward to being more activists in our lives coming up, particularly as the YouTube show grows. You never have been silent. You never have not been out there helping other people, and we appreciate it.
Aw, I really appreciate that, and I just love I love it that we have a frame of reference for one another's lives and how often and long we've been putting everything on the line because we want the world to be a better place.
Yeah, that's it.
On a lighter note, lesbian fashion intervention.
Yes. You know what? I could do an entire ongoing series of just all the things that Lacey wears that I wish she wouldn't.
Oh my God, that
one's
great.
Robin, what drives you? What is your biggest pet peeve about something that Lacey might wear?
Well, just that I know this is going to sound sexist. I'm almost afraid to say it. Or it also sounds kind of like my Jewish mother when I was growing up. But it's something like, you have such a nice figure. Why don't you show it off?
Oh, wait a minute. I have to just say something, Nicholas. I grew up in Jersey. You did not grow up here, did you?
No, I grew up in Arizona.
Okay. I grew up in Jersey. I don't know about Arizona rules, but Jersey rules are loose-fitting clothing is actually stylish. It's not only okay, it's expected. If you're a little bit intellectual, if you're a little bit outside the box of just like the regular straight girls and boys, you might wear something baggy. It's totally acceptable. That might be true, But in the same way that you're turned off by the paper plate, oh, wow, boom, mic drop.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Nicholas, you have to know that I'm sitting here in a flannel that's two sizes too big. What does that mean?
Well, I'm in a t-shirt and underwear. What does that mean? you guys, one of the things that you did for a long time is you've been writing scripts, and if I remember correctly, you wrote one with yourselves in mind, and you had the opportunity to sell it, but you had to let go of your dream of starring in it. Am I remembering that correctly, and what would you like to say about that?
I remember that exactly correctly. The short story about that was that we had, for about 7 years, partnered with a producer, a really incredibly high-profile producer of sorts, who we felt sure could get the film done, and brought Donald Sutherland on board, and Donald Sutherland sent us a letter saying, this movie cracks me up, I cannot wait to star in it, and just, it was a roller coaster of seeming commitments and seeming money coming in the door, and then it would fall through, and we would gather ourselves back up. And after this, after going through this roller coaster of 7 years, including actually people saying the check is in the mail and then it never arriving, we finally said, number one, we're too old. I said I'm too old. I don't want to speak for Robin because I know that this, she doesn't really agree with this, but at 44 is when I think I finally let go of this. I felt like I'm not going to be playing a romantic lead right now. I feel just a little tired to be playing a romantic lead.
Well, and also, Nicholas, I mean, we figured this was going to be an independent film, and sometimes you think that because something's an independent film means that you're not having to deal with this sort of Hollywood bullshit. But if you want money for a project... And by the way, we were looking for about $2 million, so it wasn't huge budget, but it wasn't micro-budget either.
Right.
Yeah, and if you're asking for money, you know, it's something that you simply can't, not like a Kickstarter where you can actually do everything yourself, but because we needed a decent sum of money, you're really playing all those same kinds of games. The biggest one for me, and I was really the script writer, Lacey was the story, we did the story together. I cannot tell you how many rewrites, and not that I had so many rewrites, I'm stuttering at the thought of how many rewrites, and not because it was to make it artistically better, but because if this role was bigger, then they might be able to get that actor.
We have to rewrite the script because Russell Brand wants to play a role, and that means we have to make him a larger part. Or the guy will give us some money if we put his wife in this role, but she needs more life. So all this stuff, like all this, like all my artistic integrity just going out the window. I felt like I had just sold my soul multiple times. And by the time, you know, the latest draft of the script, I just felt like, I don't even know what this is anymore. I don't relate to it. It's not my baby. It was a really sort of upsetting process as an artist.
But it was a rebirth.
It was a rebirth because it actually went on almost exactly as long as it takes someone to completely transition into a new life. You know, that 7 years where every cell has regenerated. You no longer have even a little bit of who you were 7 years before. It's probably time to move on.
Yeah, and now the channel, I just want to say that we now, doing the YouTube channel is like, it's so refreshing to us because we get to choose everything, we get to do it all ourselves. We don't have to ask permission, it doesn't cost us any money, we go direct to our audience, it's everything that we want to be, it's everything that we want as artists.
I love it, I love every moment of it. What would you like to address that I might not have evoked from a question with a question?
I think the biggest thing that I keep coming to that might be fun to bring up is that prior to this show, we were having actually a very dark moment of the soul, both of us, we're middle-aged, so we're dealing with that. The film had just, we had just sold it to the producer, so now he can go out and cast whomever he wants and see if he can get it done, but it's not going to be us anymore. And we were both pretty crabby and pretty depressed, and it was not a pretty moment around here. And suddenly, we looked at each other and said, "I think we used to be funny. I think we used to have a good time at life." And as soon as we sat down and pointed the camera at ourselves and started being lighthearted to make other people laugh, we rediscovered that life is good again.
And life is funny.
And that life is funny, yes.
The thing that we really realized is that we had forgotten to laugh.
Yeah.
We had lost our sense of humor because we were so ambitious and we were so driven to try to get this movie done that nothing else mattered, and we were just, we were missing out. We were just, our values were like all upside down.
Yeah, which I'm sure is nothing you can relate to. You know?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Exactly.
Especially the middle age part.
Exactly. Enough from you.
Hey, I'm 53 and fabulous. That's all I have to say.
Perfect. Yes, you are, and you look amazing.
Thank you. You can come on the show again.
Thank you. You know all the right things to say.
Actually, I do want, I think I want to have you on regularly. We need to have like a Bill Maher style panel.
Oh my God.
You just need to come on my show regularly, and we'll come up with hot topics, and so I'll definitely follow up on that, because this is post-produced after our interview, but I can go live with people from multiple locations.
Awesome. That's cool. Awesome.
Yes. So it's... I searched YouTube to make sure I could tell my listeners how to find your channel easily, and Lacey is L-A-C-I-E, so if you just, not Batman and Robin, but Lacey and Robin, you'll find their channel and all their videos very easily, or you can type in the URL the old-fashioned way, youtube.com/LaceyandRobin. So what's next for the two of you?
We're going to be doing this for the time being because it's what we love. And I don't think and then another thing that you should know and your listeners may be interested in, Rob wrote a musical a year ago, and it's terrific. We produced it in Hollywood for about 2 months last summer. It did extraordinarily well. It's called Beguiled, and it explores Adam and Eve being kicked out of the Garden of Eden. And it's a hilarious comedy musical. So look out for that. That's in the offing. It's coming up in the coming years.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
It's about how Adam and Eve get kicked out of the Garden of Eden immediately following their eviction. Eve is cast out.
It takes place in present-day San Francisco. So they travel through time to present-day San Francisco right after getting kicked out of the garden.
Immediately after being evicted from the Garden of Eden,
Adam and Eve are time to present-day San Francisco, where Adam becomes America's favorite bad boy, and Eve is put on trial for the downfall of humanity.
My goodness.
So it's a true story, Nick, because you know that's what would happen.
And then Adam meets Steve.
That needs to happen.
Well, actually, Eve is befriended by a group of gays, of course, when she goes to San Francisco, because they're all completely enamored of her for being such a diva.
Do they give her a makeover?
Yes!
And do you have scenes with mirror balls?
Yes, they have to. I mean, she's got nothing but, you know, fig leaves.
Well, listen, you two are my heroines, and I really am so grateful that we're all still around on the planet, keeping on.
Yes, we love you and we appreciate you.
Well, I'm going to start coming into LA a lot more. I actually would like to be there at least 50% of the time. So I'm working on that strategy, and I will keep you informed.
Please do. We'd love to see you and go for coffee or tea or something fun.
We've talked about how people can find you on YouTube. Give any other contact information that you would like.
You can follow us on Twitter, at please do, at Lacey and Robin, and it's LACIE and ROBIN. Also on Facebook, Lacey and Robin, Instagram, Lacey and Robin. And you can just also find our website, which is LaceyandRobin.com.
Well, that's very easy. I'm going to do all of the above. And I will hopefully see you very soon.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Love you.
We are, in fact, connecting the circuitry of humanity. All of us connected. Please continue to connect with Nicholas Snow on Facebook, Twitter, Periscope, Instagram, Google Plus, and other social networks. Everything Nicholas Snow is available at nicholassnow.com. For our video programming, check out nicholassnow.tv. Please subscribe to the show for free at iTunes or by downloading a podcast app from your favorite app store. This program is produced and copyrighted by Nicholas Snow Productions, LLC. Thank you for being a part of the snowstorm. We are honored by your presence.